Welcome back to the Live with Audacity podcast. You're listening to episode number 61. Today's episode is with the amazing Gina DeFay, author of the new book, The Parakeet Drawing. Gina tells us the story of how she struggled as a young child in a horrendous situation, but then she was saved by the kind soul of a stranger. She tells us how God had to intervene in her life to get her a message to write this book and get it out into the world, and how learning to hear her intuition and listen to it, which, by the way, are two totally different things, and how that's been guiding her in her life. This is an episode you do not want to miss, I promise. But before we dive into that, I want to talk to you because this is your last opportunity to get in on my 6-week coaching package for the super duper low rate of $497. That's right. It's dirt cheap. It's 6 weeks and we are going to make so much progress together. So the thing is that I teach Audacity. That comes in so many different forms for so many different people, right? Some people are really good about setting boundaries with their spouse or their family, but they're not really great at setting boundaries with their business or with work or something like that. And so what we do is we go through and we dissect the areas of your life and the places that you're not feeling 100% aligned and feeling really good about where you're headed. So in my 6 weeks, we can talk about any number of things. My last client, we started out talking about what her purpose was. She wanted to start an online business. She knew what her experience was, what her expertise was, and things like that, but she just didn't quite have the clarity of how she wanted to move forward with her ideas. And then we ended up talking about decluttering, because that was one place in her life that kept her from moving forward in her business and starting to make that progress in her business that she wanted to see. And so without getting to know each other and without talking and without, you know, really having those deep conversations, I would have never been able to help her with that. And newsflash, if you don't know this already, I am a star declutterer. So it was so interesting. That was one of the things that was holding her back from making progress on her business, because her home was cluttered, her life was cluttered, her mind was cluttered, and her heart was cluttered. And so she couldn't see the forest through the trees because there was just too much other stuff going on and clouding her mind, right? And that's what I help with, is I help you get really focused. And then have the audacity to say, I'm not going to let this thing bog me down anymore and drown me in anxiety and disillusion and clutter my mind anymore. And so that's what I can help you with. So if you're ready to either discover your purpose or figure out what the hell is holding you back from pursuing your purpose. A lot of times we already know what it is, but we just can't figure out what is holding us back from getting over that hump. I can help you with it. So hit me up in the DMs, girl, or go to livewithaudacitynow.com, click coaching, and get on a call with me so that we can talk about this. I just know that I can help you start to make that progress that you really need. And it's different for everyone, right? It's different for every human, the things that are holding them back. So let's talk about it. Let's get you over it. Let's get you headed in the direction of your dreams. And your dreams are a life of peace and fulfillment and joy and happiness. And I want you to have that. The Lord wants you to have that. He wants you to have that peace. So let Mama help you. We can do this. Okay? So I know I just rambled on a long time about that, but I'm just so passionate about it. It means so much to me to be able to help you grow and move in the direction of your dreams, because I know that God did not put them on your heart for no reason. He put them there because they were meant for you and they were meant for you to pursue. So please, it would be my honor to help you pursue that dream. Okay. I promise we're moving on. Let's talk to Gina DeFay today about her book, The Parakeet Drawing, and where the idea for that came from. You're listening to the Live with Audacity podcast. Hey girl, hey, I'm Melissa Stewart, mama to four kiddos ranging the age from college student to first grader, wife to a high school football and track coach, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. Audacity is defined as intrepid boldness or disregard for normal constraints, and that's exactly what we have here. As a super busy mom who is easily distracted, I struggled to get focused on my goals and see results in my life and business. But I realized to make any progress, I needed to implement simple, efficient systems that worked for us without adding to the overwhelm and making me feel boxed in by rigid schedules. And I want to help you do that too. This podcast is aimed at giving you tangible tips and tools to get your life together, finally focus on the calling on your heart, and do it all in the way that works for you. So come on, boo-boo, it is time to get focused, get intentional, and live with audacity. Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning back into the Live with Audacity podcast. I am so excited to have Gina DeFay here. She is the author of The Parakeet Drawing. And I'm so excited to have you on today because we were kind of talking a little bit before we got started. And I just love your, what's the word I'm looking for? I love your vibe. And so I want to tell everyone that Gina is in the financial and insurance services industry. And if you've been following me for any amount of time, you probably know that that's where I came from as well. And a huge, deep passion of mine for so long. So I'm so excited to talk to someone else that shares that passion. But then she also decided to write this book in the last year or so through God's calling. And if you know me at all, you know that is totally my thing to hear that push and that that passion come alive and follow that road. So Gina, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about how in the world you woke up one day and were like, I'm supposed to write a book. How did that come about?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been about 30 years in insurance and financial services, was married for 20 years, raised three daughters, just kind of always going and running. And about 2 years ago, my last daughter graduated from college and I just thought, okay, this is cool. Just kind of status quo. We'll see what the next chapter brings. But I just felt like there was something more I was supposed to do, that it wasn't going to be status quo. And then a year later, which was a year ago now, I was in my kitchen doing the dishes, normal day, and I just felt like God said, you're going to write a book. And I thought to myself, well, God, I can barely write a sentence, so I don't know how that's going to work. And then it just didn't go away. And, you know, he said, it's time to tell your story. It's time to move into this next phase. And that's how it started.
Oh my gosh, so crazy. I love that you said that you just thought, okay, well, we'll just do the status quo for now and see what happens. And I feel like so many people get stuck, not stuck necessarily, but they just get complacent about that, right? And they're just like, status quo, like everything is good. I don't, you know, I have nothing to complain about. I'm just going to do my thing. I love doing the thing that I'm doing and just keep going. And then this inspiration struck you and you were like, oh, so scary.
Yes.
How did you, because we talk a lot about in the coaching world, we talk a lot about taking that inspired action. And sometimes it's really scary to obey God when he says, do this thing. You're like, I don't know, man. how did you push yourself to believe in yourself the way that he was believing in you?
Oh, that's such a great question. So I would say I did not have a typical upbringing at all, like so many people. You know, I don't think I'm that different from many people that had craziness in their childhood. But I really didn't know what I was supposed to do. I kind of knew textbook. When you looked at the world around you, okay, you're supposed to get married and have kids and, you know, maybe have a job and, you know? And so I was like, okay, that's, I guess, what I do, kind of trying to check boxes. And God just through my teenage years really would put these little things like, do this and do that. And I didn't have a relationship with him at the time. He knew me. I didn't know him. But I didn't know any different. And I didn't have any guidance. So I just kind of did what those things were. And as I got older, I just got into the, I don't know if it's the groove or it's the grind. But raising kids and, you know, and getting into this career, and, I was on the sales side for many, many years, and then I went to corporate. And when I went to corporate, it was just a different thing. I realized a lot more people were involved in what was going to happen with you. And I lost my self-confidence, to be honest with you, for many years, because while I had always done what I thought I should do, now I had other people saying, well, maybe do this or try this, or you're not going to be good at that. Go over here. And it confused me. But I wanted to do well, and I really wanted to do the right things. And so I would maneuver very well in that way. And then when my kids graduated from college and I had come back onto the sales side, and I just had this time with God over the past couple of years where he brought that realization, like, you've stopped listening to me. You're doing what people around or society or Facebook or whatever says that you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You haven't been listening to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. And it's why I was sad. You know, I went through some depression and I had kind of lost myself. And so that's really, it was reconnecting back to who I really was. And still, you know, I'm not an upset the apple cart kind of person either. I want to do well, and I want to be seen in a good light, and you know, I want to maneuver well, but I also want to be myself and be authentic through that process.
Oh, you're totally speaking my language. Oh, I love everything you're saying. So how did you come to the conclusion that you and God know you better than other people did when they were all trying to tell you, you know, try this, maybe do this, move here, this is what you will like, you know, things like that?
Yeah, there's a clarity that I believe we all have when we allow ourselves into it. And I always think of it as kind of stepping back out of a bubble, right? And stepping back out of that bubble and realizing the people that God had placed in my life who were letting me be authentic, who were not just letting me, but encouraging me. And in some ways, I didn't trust them because I had gone through, you know, this 10 years of who do you trust and who do you not? But the clarity, yeah. So that clarity from God, he was like, this is a good one. This one's not, you know. And it doesn't mean anything bad, because sometimes those people think that they are doing a good thing. They think they are trying to help you, but they're molding you in a way that your spirit says, no, 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 no. That's not it.
Yeah. I think that's really important to point out, because just because someone's intentions are really good, they're coming to you from their own perspective and their own experiences that they've had and relating it to their life. Yes. And so while they are, you know, mean well, they don't always necessarily, not that they don't have your best interests at heart, but they just don't know all the pieces of you the way that you and God know all the pieces of you. So I'm so glad that you said that. And I feel like so often we are afraid to pray for that discernment, because sometimes we don't really want it, right? Like, no, please don't tell me I can't have that friend. Yes. Right?
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
How did you deal with that? Was there an experience where you felt that pull of like, ooh, this isn't totally the right person I should be around? And how did you handle that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was actually a relationship. So I've been divorced for about 14 years and single most of that time. I've dated a little bit, but I did have a relationship that somehow in my spirit, I knew that was not the right person. But I was just so drawn to him, and there was just something that I wanted. And I probably painted, you know, the fairy tale Cinderella picture of it. And when it finally got to the point that this is not the right person, I mean, it was almost tragic for me. You know, it was really a struggle to go through because I had to make the decision that it wasn't right. You know, and we don't ever want to do that either. You know, if they break up with you, you can be, you know, angry and, you know, get an attitude and
yeah,
all of that. But I had to say, Gina, you know, this is not, you have anxiety when you're with this person. You know, you don't trust them. Why are you trying so hard and pouring all of your energy into this?
Yes.
And this is how you feel in it.
And so what did you do?
I ended it.
How did that go?
I mean, it was hard. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I mean, I remember just shaking when I knew I had to have the conversation, just shaking. But the part, Melissa, that I think is so important is that is such a natural thing. We don't want to pull ourselves out of possibility, you know, a lot of times, and we don't want to hurt another person. And, you know, and we paint this picture, and knowing that we have to, you know, pull the trigger that's going to end that is terrifying because we go through all the what ifs. Well, what if this, what if that? And we're usually on the negatives, right? And so I try to think like, what if it's good? And, you know, also balance. And so the day after, the next morning when I woke up was the first morning in 3 years that I felt at peace.
Oh, so amazing.
Yeah. And it was still sad. I mean, I cried for a year, but I was at peace. You know, I didn't have anxiety when I woke up in the mornings. And you know, and I will tell you a little bit, and I know we'll get to the book at some point, but I also had to do that with my mom. And I had to do that when I was 21 years old. And I didn't ever, ever, ever want to have to do that again. I didn't want to have to take somebody out of my life that I thought was supposed to be such an impactful person in my life. And I think that's another thing. We can take people's titles or position or the view that we have of them in our life and encapsulate them in this, I don't know, this godlike kind of state, right? Because you know, you're supposed to be my mom. You're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be my man. You know, you're supposed to be there.
That pedestal. And
yes. Yes, exactly. And so I didn't want to have to do it again. But, you know, when you do that, you reclaim your power back, you know, and that's where God wants us. He wants us to be in the power he gave us. And it's in him, not in these humans or positions, you know, our jobs or, you know, where we volunteer, any of those things.
So amazing. And I totally agree. It's so refreshing to hear someone tell the story of having to let something that you really hold dear, let it go. What did you find obviously less anxiety, but what are some other positive things that you found on the other side of letting these relationships go? Because I think so many times we get so stuck in the, but I don't know what's on the other side. I don't know what will I find if I let this go, whether it's a job or a friend or a spouse or parent, you know, car, whatever it may be. We always think like, this is as good as it gets. What are some things you experienced on the other side?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing for me is God came back each time. You know, I could hear his voice again. You know, I can remember saying to myself, okay, Gina, do you really want to go around the mountain again? Like you have this and you're going around the mountain and you're not going in the direction that you're supposed to be going. And somehow you know it. And when you come back and say, okay, that was the wrong direction. That was the wrong person or the wrong job or the wrong whatever. Let me come back. And it doesn't ever feel good. Right? Taking those step backs is counterintuitive to who we are as human beings.
Totally.
Yeah. But then you can hear again and it's like, wait a minute. Now there's all these other possibilities I didn't even think about. I couldn't even see. And things start to flow, you know, and you can follow whether people believe in God or your intuition, that inner voice, like, there's a freedom that starts to come back when you go into neutral and allow it. And peace comes in. For me, that's the biggest thing is peace. Peacefulness.
Yeah, it's so good. You know, I for a long time. I struggled with, you know, worthiness and I want to do what God is calling me to do. Why isn't this working and things like that? And so I kept telling him, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to do your will. But when it came to just thinking about my business or my life or my kids or whatever, I would just make decisions, right? Like just make them without consulting God or the universe, source, whatever you believe. Mm-hmm. For me, it was God. I just would, you know, I would just pick what I was supposed to do or thought what I was supposed to do. But in the last month or two, I've really been trying to take a deep breath and like take it to God and say, okay, I think this is what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to need a little bit more clarity or, you know, I'm going to take this action, you know, unless you think otherwise or whatever. And I really do feel like you get that feeling, you get that nudge in the right direction. And I think that's so valuable that we don't just do it on the big stuff, right? Like we can do it on the little stuff too. And it can be so empowering to say, yep, okay, I know I made the right decision and I'm headed in that direction. Yeah. When you decided to write the book, because you heard God say, you need to write the book, how did you reconcile I haven't read the book, but I know that it is about kind of your life and how you've come to this place. How did you decide that it was okay to write about those things?
Oh gosh. You know, honestly, Melissa, I'm still in a place that I'm not sure it's okay. If I'm just going to be really authentic. Yeah. It's hard, right? It's hard to really expose who you are. And when people, I always say people see us, you know, we make a decision about people very quickly when we see them of who they are. And the decisions about me have never been right, right? When people would meet me, and even after they knew me for a while, they formed who I was. And it's always been this inner turmoil of that's not me, that's not me. And what I've always struggled with is I'm super authentic. I can't lie. And so I get in this pickle where I'm like, I'm either going to be really uncomfortable because I have to maneuver in a space with you that is not me, or you're going to be really uncomfortable because I'm going to tell you who I am and it's not pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. So, yeah. And I hate to make other people uncomfortable. It's like the worst thing for me. But sometimes we have to be in that space. And I think if we do it gracefully and gently, it's okay. And it's more important that we are able to be that person. And so the person that we really are, and that's where I'm at with the book. And so, writing it and writing about it has also been therapeutic. You know, the first time that, Lauren and I, she's my co-writer, sat down and went through it, I was telling her things I had never told anybody before. And so there was kind of this dumping and it was very raw. And then I had to say, okay, so some of that can't be in the book because it's a little too much.
Yeah.
But this, I'm ready for the story to be told again, because I don't like to be the center of attention at all. It's very uncomfortable for me. I want to help people. And that's the whole key to this, is to be able to say, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what that looked like. It doesn't matter how ugly it was. It can be for a purpose. And I don't want to be disrespectful to people who are struggling through trauma at all.
Right.
Because it matters in that way. It matters to who you are, but it doesn't have to limit you, is probably a better way of saying it. It doesn't have to limit your potential. I truly believe everybody has a why inside of them. They have a fire inside of them. And all of that stuff, you know, can what society thinks, what your spouse thinks, what your kids, your family, your coworkers, yeah, Facebook, Pinterest, you know, whatever, what all of that looks like can bury who we really are. And that was the part for me, is I've got to get it out. I've got to say who I really am. It's kind of like breaking out of all of that garbage that's been put on top of us. and to say, it's okay. It's okay to be me. It's okay to have had the walk I had. As for me, as long as I'm using it to empower and encourage other people, you know, if other people could come out of their shell because of it.
Yeah, so good. And I love that you said that your trauma doesn't have to, I forgot exactly the way that you worded it. But yeah, it doesn't have to, yes, it's a part of your story and builds you into who you are, but it's not the end all be all. And it doesn't have to be the end of your story. There's right. So much more that can come after that. So
Right. Yeah, it doesn't have to limit you or stop you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the book.
Okay. So so the
like,
book
where
is
do I start?
I know, really. The book is a memoir. And Melissa, my hope is really to write other books that are more about empowerment and helping people with goals and tactics to move out of trauma or to move forward. They don't even have to have trauma, just they're stopped for some reason. But I had to tell my story, I felt like, first. There had to be a base as to why I do feel like I have some wisdom to speak to it. And so it is a memoir about my life, primarily just a crazy 5-year time in my childhood. And the trauma that was experienced there as an only child in a home with two alcoholics, a lot of drugs, a lot of partying, just molestation, sex parties. I mean, it was just an unbelievably crazy place for a child to be alone.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And from it, a really, really cool thing happened. One person saw me and changed who I would be for the rest of my life. And that's really what it's about. Like, it goes through parts of my life after that where I still experienced difficulties and sometimes really, really hard things, but I knew I would be okay. And I knew I could go forward because of this one random act of kindness that happened from a stranger. And as I, even as I got, you know, older and like I said, I think that a lot of times we get into this groove. When I started having kids, all I wanted to do was be a good mom. My entire life, that was it. I didn't have a good mom, you know, and that's what I wanted. And I had three daughters and I was trying to change a pattern. And it was a generational pattern, right? I was trying to like, let's not have this happen going forward. And
right.
How can I, can I stop it in any way and not be too overprotective with these three, you know, young ladies that I have been so blessed to be their mom. And so I maneuvered through that for, you know, almost 30 years. And so that's why I was so focused on doing the right thing for them, being a good mom. And my career was blossoming and I wasn't really trying there. I wasn't trying to, climb a ladder or anything like that. There were just really good things happening there. And so that's where I was kind of in the groove of that. And the book talks about not as much about career. I don't even mention really anything about that, but about coming through that trauma and then all of a sudden being like, okay, but now what? Now yeah. The girls are raised. I'm in my 50s and really I'm 53 now. And so it's the last 3 years of kind of this opening up now. And now I don't know what will happen next, but the hope that I have for whatever that will be.
It's so amazing to be at this stage where so many good things have happened and to be able to be excited about the next stage and what's going to come next. Because, you know, I would assume as a child going through all that, the future was kind of scary.
Very, yeah, very scary. Very scary.
And so to be at this place going, ooh, I can't wait to see what comes next. That's pretty transformational.
It is. It is. And, you know, and it all comes from this one stranger, you know, when I was very young.
Tell me about what that person did for you.
Yeah. So I can't tell you everything because it's kind of the catalyst of the book.
Okay.
But I will say it was just a random act of kindness of seeing a little girl who did not feel seen, who didn't feel worthy. And the impact of, you know, when we, not just somebody, because I don't want to think that it was just, oh, this is a really cool thing that happened to me. That's that whole mission I think that God has, because it happened to me. Now that's the gift I now get to give to others. And so when that happened and my life over the next year of, wait a minute, if one person saw me, there will be other people that will see me. If one person could give me hope, I can have hope. And I want to give that to other people. You know, I want to do that for other people. As a very young girl, I think I was 11 or 12 when that happened.
So amazing. And so I am with you. I love being able to be the person that sees something in someone that they don't quite see. And and having people in my life that have done that for me, holy cow, you're like, wait, mm-hmm. Are you sure you're talking to the right person? Are you sure you're believing in the right person? I'm not sure. And so being able to use, you know, I've heard that before where sometimes you have to take someone else's belief in you and use that because you just need a little stepping stone, a little oomph, a little push. So I've had people in my life that have done that for me too. And it's just so incredible to be able to turn around and do that for other people too. So I love your message and I love the direction that you're headed in. I think it's so amazing and heartwarming.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And yeah, you're right, Melissa. I truly believe we're all here for that purpose. We're here to help each other. You know, we're all on this planet trying to do our best every day. Yeah. And I mean, this year has really shown us how difficult it can be. But when you think about even just in the last 6 months, who were the people that, you know, had pulled their mask down a little bit just to smile at you, or, you know, it's the little things that we do, like, hi, I see you. I hope you're having a great day. Or the people who, you know, call and say, gosh, I think that you're probably going through a lot right now. What can I do?
Yeah. You know, oh, so good.
It changes. Yeah. It changes our day. It changes like, oh, all of a sudden I have a little bit more energy today.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you pointed that out. I actually was thinking about it yesterday, thinking those days that it's just a day and I got some things done or whatever, it's cool. But those days that I got a win, or I either touched somebody's heart or somebody touched my heart, those are the days that add up and you're like, oh my God, I love my life. Yeah. And so I was thinking about that yesterday. What are some things I can do to get those wins? Because when I get to elevate my energy that way, oh man, it just makes for such a great life. So do you have any, and this is off the cuff, we did not discuss this before, but do you have any suggestions of other ways that maybe we can touch somebody today?
Oh gosh, Melissa, I love that you asked this because this is one of those things that God did with me for 30 years. And again, you just get in such a habit of doing it. You don't really think about it. But it's things like, okay, I went to the grocery store, a couple of years ago and I needed to order some, like a deli tray, for an event that we were doing. And I went up to the deli. It was pretty early in the morning and there was one gal working and I'm looking kind of at this menu and I'm like, I just need to get deli sandwiches. And she got very snappy with me, you know, well, what kind do you want? And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I'm just looking at the picture. Yeah. Is it a big, you know, and she was not having a good day. I will just put it that way. And I think that our instinct is to get snappy back at people, you know, well, your service, you know, I'm here, I'm spending my money. And we kind of get this attitude. And I just felt like God said, be kind to her, be kind. And so I, you know, I got through the order and I went to get milk or something else. And I heard God say, you need to buy her some flowers.
Oh,
and I was like, okay, she wasn't very nice, God.
You're like, are you sure?
I'm like, really? And, And then, and again, I don't like to be the center of attention. So I bought the flowers. I gave them to the store manager and I just said, you know, I don't want her to get in trouble. She wasn't very nice. I think she's just having a really bad day. Please don't tell her these are from me. But I just let her know that a customer came in and is thinking about her. And it's things like that, you know. I've been in getting my nails done before and overheard a woman who wanted a design on one of her fingernails, and they told her it was going to be $10 or something. And she said, oh, you know, I really can't afford that right now. You know, and I told my nail tech, you know, tell her to get it. I'll pay for it. I don't want her to know it's me, you know? And so they kind of, you know, kind of did a little round robin through, and it's like, somebody's paying for that for you. Go ahead and get that little thing on your fingernails. And, you know, it's just little, and it doesn't always have to be buying things. You know, sometimes it's just that prompting to call somebody and say, hey, I've been thinking about you, you know, can I pray for you? Or can I, you know, can we go to lunch? You know, I'd love to take you to lunch. And I just want to know how you're doing.
Yeah, I love that. And I think even just the smallest things, you know, maybe you're getting a coffee at Starbucks and you can say, hey, I really like your hair. You know, I also totally agree with Gina. Be authentic. Don't just say random stuff to people that you don't you don't actually think. But if you do like someone's earrings, freaking tell them, because there's not enough good in this world right now. And and we can all use a little bit of joy in our lives. So I promise if you do it, it's going to make somebody else feel good. But then, the return you get, the way that it makes you feel to make someone smile, just that is the win that you need every day. So I would challenge you to definitely do something like that for somebody every single day.
Yeah, it's huge, huge.
So tell me a little bit about how you got into the financial and insurance industry. And guys, sorry, but this is really maybe just for me, unless you're in it and or you want to get into it. But I love that industry. And so, I'm asking for myself. I'm just curious.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, absolutely. So again, this is one of those God things. I was in the military. I went in the military right out of high school, and I ended up meeting my husband, and we got married, and I was pregnant, and one of us had to get out of the military because they can send both of you if something happens, and we didn't want to leave our child. And again, and my whole mindset then was, okay, this is your chance, Gina, you know, you're going to be a mom, you're going to break this pattern. And so he's my ex-husband now, but at the time he had been in the military 6 years longer than I had. So it made sense for me to get out. And we were in the Air Force and I absolutely loved it. So it was heartbreaking to get out, but you know, it was the right decision. So I got out of the military, 2 weeks before Monica was born, and I stayed home with her for about a year. And then I was like, I think I'm going stir crazy. Like, yes, I want to break a pattern, but I really don't think I'm a stay-at-home mom. So I got to go back to work, even if it's part-time. See, I'm like, I need something more than this. So the place where we had our insurance, I loved that office. And I thought, well, you know, I don't have a college education. I have military experience. And a lot of it was more administrative. So I think I could be like an assistant, administrative assistant or receptionist or something. And I asked them and they said, no, you know, we're not really hiring right now. And about 2 weeks later, I went to WorkSource or something and they were on the board there as hiring.
And you're like, what the heck?
I know. I called back and they said, okay, well, we weren't when we talked to you, but we are now, but we're worried about you working here because your husband's in the military and you could get orders and leave. And I'm like, it just felt like the right place.
Yeah.
So they hired somebody and she didn't work out. And so they called me and said, okay, we're going to take a chance on you. And I was like, I knew it, God. I knew that's where I was supposed to be.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah. So I was a receptionist, but within a couple of weeks, I mean, it just clicked with me. And I was thinking, I don't know how I understand these, you know, from an insurance perspective. That was before the financial services. From an insurance perspective, I understood these concepts and I could explain them really well to people. And I really wanted to protect them. I'm like, you can pay $3 more and have $100,000 more coverage. Why wouldn't you do that? And they're like, well, nobody's explained it that way.
I know. Oh my gosh. Yes. You're my soul sister. Yes. I love it. You got to tell people why. They don't know. You're the insurance expert. Ugh. Okay.
Yes. 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 And so, you know, and now I lead a team, and that's really fun. I have a team of 20 agents, and this is what I always tell them. I'm like, when somebody asks, how much is the insurance? Like, what's the premium? We need to always say to them, do you want to know the price of the insurance or the cost of the claim? Right? So people think, and yeah, we're in a world where we're buying from commercials, right? And so people are, and I get it, we're concerned about what our monthly bills are. But if you could pay $5 more or $10 more, and you really hurt somebody in an accident, or you were really hurt in an accident, or, you know, you had a house fire and you had all of this extra coverage, and it would have cost you $10 more a month, would you have paid it? And every single person says yes.
Right. But a lot of times they don't even know that it's an option.
Yes. Yes.
And then that's what makes insurance professionals look terrible when you guys are all out here not telling people this stuff.
Exactly. Because you're afraid to lose, quote, the sale, right? And if we wouldn't think of it as selling, and we would think of it as providing the options. Yes. Yes. Educating so they can make a good buying decision on what's right for them and their family.
I love this so much. Oh my gosh. It just makes my heart pound and makes me so happy. I love it. So I also would say that when I learned that aspect of it is people want to be educated. They want to make an educated decision. And I started this business. I decided that was like, I'm always going to do that to the best of my ability, is educate my client on why this, why that. And I think you can take that piece of it on educating your client and teaching them about your industry, in pretty much anything. And I think that just makes it, you're empowering them. And when you do that, they're always going to choose you because they know that you just showed them how much you care about them and what's best for them. And I just think it's a win-win all around. So I love that you said that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I agree. And I think, you know, for me, it's technology. I don't get it. I don't know what a Meg or a RAM, I don't know what any of that is. Right. And so when I have to go and purchase something that has technology, I love when people listen to me, you know, and I say, I don't know what this is. And they'll say, well, what do you need it to do? Let's find the one that does what you need it to do and take all of this, you know, terminology out of it. And that's the same thing in our industry with insurance and financial services. When we really have, what are we protecting? You know, how much income do we need to protect? How much is your car worth? How much is your house worth? You know, what would you be sued for if something happened? Let's have that conversation and then really listen. Right? Listen to what they're saying and then provide the right solution for that. If it costs too much, now we can negotiate a little bit, right? We can figure out, well, what are you willing to give up to pay a little bit less? And that's okay.
Right.
That's okay. Because they get to make the decision.
Oh,
I have a fabulous leader, fabulous leader. And he always says, we have to let the client vote.
Ooh, so good. Yeah. You got to empower the client. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I totally agree that the clients want choice. And if you educate them about the choices that they're making, it's a no-brainer.
It is. It is. So yeah, so love we geeked it out on insurance a little bit.
I know. But so fun. Okay, so let's do a quick rapid fire. Tell me a book, article, person, or talk that's changed your life.
So I would say, I already told you about The Stranger, but so in addition to him, I would say a book is The StrengthsFinder 2.0. I think Tom Rath is the author. Totally changed my life. Totally allowed me to be like, yep, I'm not weird. That's exactly who I am because these are my strengths. Or maybe I am weird that. And it's okay.
It's totally okay. We're all weird. So what is your favorite Friday night at home?
Oh gosh. My favorite Friday night at home is just to put on my pajamas, pour a glass of wine, I have two cats, just spend some time with them, maybe with the fireplace on, and that's it. Maybe some music, like no TV, no noise, just relaxing, talking to God, yeah, slowing down from the week and, you know, really being purposeful about just being in a quiet moment.
I love it so much. That's so amazing. Okay. What was your dream job as a kid?
Oh gosh, my dream job was to do the makeup of movie stars.
Oh my gosh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do.
What made you decide that that wasn't for you?
I had no idea how to do it. I had no idea. I had no idea where to go. You know, I was born in the late 60s, so you know, I'm from Utah originally. And not knocking any of that, but just in the era and the state that I grew up in,
makeup really was not a thing.
Yeah. Makeup, going to college, you know, having a career, any of that. So, yeah.
Yeah. So interesting. Man, you could totally still do it now if you decide though.
Oh gosh. Oh, Melissa, don't get me started. I will.
Oh my God. I love it. Okay. What is your next vacation that you're planning when we are allowed to go places?
Oh, well, my bucket list is Greece. So I would love to go to Greece.
Oh my God. We're going to be best friends, Gina. I'm so excited about it. Yay! And we're going to go to Greece together and do each other's makeup. Oh my gosh.
I'm in.
Okay. What is your best advice to help our listeners live with audacity?
Oh, put yourself into neutral and allow yourself to be there. You know, for a moment, it might be 10 minutes and it might be a year. And just listen, just really listen to what it is you're supposed to do. And don't let anybody tell you can't. Don't let anybody tell you it's impossible, because if it's in you, you can.
That's right. And if it's in you, it's possible.
Yes. And the doors will open. You don't have to do much. You just have to let it out, manifest it, tell people about it. And it will. I promise it'll happen.
Oh, that's so good. I think that's my favorite thing that anyone has ever said. I love that. So where can people find you to get more information about your book?
Yeah. So for the book, it's www.ginadefay, which is G-I-N-A. Defay is spelled D like David, E, F like Frank, A like Apple, .com, ginadefay.com. And you can sign up there on the mailing list. The book comes out on November 17th. So we will be taking pre-orders at that time.
I love it so much. That's so amazing. I can't wait to put all of these links in the show notes for you guys. And you have to get the book, because I know it's going to be amazing. Gina, holy cow. I had so much fun hanging out with you and getting to know you today.
Same here, Melissa. Same here. It was so much fun. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be on here and to meet you and all of your listeners. Very exciting.
It was so much fun. Thanks again.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Boo Boo. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. If you found value in this episode, do me a solid favor and take a screenshot, post it in your stories, and tag me. I love watching you grow and live up to your greatest potential. Let me cheer you on.